Ladies and gentlemen, the Conservative Daily Podcast is back. And now your hosts, Max McGuire and Joe Walton.
So Joe has to run in a minute, but he did get his friend Dave, which I assume is a fake name. Dave, no. The Border Patrol
agent.
Why
would you say that? We're not saying if he is or isn't. His name's Dave.
Well, fine. His name's Dave. What?
Yeah.
We're not using his real name because we don't want to out him. We're not.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that's like a reverse psychology and he secretly is Dave. I don't know. Dave, the Border Patrol agent, is on the line. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Dave's
not here. That's a throwback to Cheech and Chong.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm awesome.
All right, tell us what we're dealing with at the border. Tell us what's going on.
So this is the early stages of what is probably going to be the most profound migration crisis that we've had. We had the juvenile crisis back in around 2012, lasted about 2014. Then during the last administration in 18 and 19, we had that really bad one that was mostly family units. But however clumsily that started off, the administration figured it out really quick and shut it down to numbers that we'd never even seen before, meaning it was that quiet and boring. So, but now this administration, knowing full well what happened the last two times, because the very first one in 12 to 14, that was basically this administration that was running the show back then. They're back again. I think they had a hand in instigating the crisis in 18 and 19, and really, you know, wanted it to discredit the current administration. So now they've undone everything, all the policies and mitigation pieces that we implemented to keep things quiet and manageable and safe and secure at the border, completely undone it and opened up the floodgates.
They're still doing that. They're still putting the kids in the quote unquote cages. I mean, I've seen some pictures that they have shipping containers. It's not an internment camp. These are soft-sided structures. I mean, they're basically using every euphemism they can, but there's not a whole lot of difference when a kid comes across the border. They're not just immediately released. They're put into some kind of holding facility until they can figure out what's going on. Is there any? Has there been any change in that?
Well, no, no. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. So here we are. The Border Patrol, CBP at large, CBP, Customs and Border Protection. So you got Border Patrol that's between the ports of entry and what everybody just calls CBP. It's actually Office of Field Operations. They wear the navy blue uniforms. They're at the ports of entry. They're at the airports if you fly international. They're the ones that ask you for your passport, right?
Yeah.
So you got at the ports, between the ports. We're not a long-term care agency. We're set up to arrest people who violate immigration and customs law and, you know, drug smuggling and, you know, what have you. So we're a police force. We're the border constabulary. We're not going to keep these people for a long time. We process them in just like if you get rolled up by the local police. They're not going to keep you there for days and weeks on end. They're going to transfer you to some place that can put you in an orange jumpsuit and give you three hots and a cot, not us. But if the other piece of this process, this cycle, breaks down for whatever reason, whether it's actually broken or it's politically encumbered, which is what is happening to ICE, what do you think happens to us? So if we have a bunch of children who are dropped off at the borders, basically what's happening, what did you all want us to do with them? I mean, turn them loose in the desert? So the kids in cages stuff, it gets to be a bit of a tired trope, and quite honestly from both sides of the aisle on that. Exactly what were we supposed to do? We didn't bring these people kids up. They got left here, and we need the other elements of the federal government, HHS, Office of Refugee Resettlement, to do their part or to return them to their native countries as quickly as we can, but that takes time. So while we have them, what were we supposed to do? We got to put them someplace. They keep dumping these the kids off at the border.
Listen, I think that you have to do what you have to do. You have to contain them. Yeah. You can't just let kids just run around and do whatever you want. Now, I'd like to say the Democrats feel like just do whatever you want. Just let them run around. You know,
sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't have an issue with the cages, or as you say, cages.
They're not cages. They're not cages. It's just a bill. I use the word cages because that's what the left calls them.
Right.
Noticeably, they're not calling them that under Biden. It's basically a building. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. It's basically in the building, instead of putting up solid walls, you have chain link fences. So
perfect.
You can see through.
Perfect.
Yeah. The walls are basically chain link fences.
What I'm saying is I don't have an issue with it. And one of the chain link fences, you know what they do? They also give transparencies. You can see when someone is actually doing something to another child. I don't have any issue with it at all. I don't have any issue with the containers. I think it's absurd we're even having the conversation. It's petty.
Containers are a little weird.
Yeah, we try to keep them, you know, within age groups, or if they're brother and sister, if we can figure that out, you know, to keep them together. But it's we have to safeguard them until we move them to the next, you know, better prepared phase of this process.
Right.
That's all we can do. Otherwise, yeah, we just drive past them, just leave them out there.
You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, and we need to stop this whole thing where we let these little whiny little can't say the word dictate policy, domestic or foreign policy.
So the MPP, Migrant Protection Protocols, made in Mexico, that was the best thing that ever happened for this problem. These with the family units and the unaccompanied children, right? So a family unit is an adult and a child, or any combination, two adults and a child, an adult, two children, whatever that happens to be. We can't send them back to Mexico anymore, and we can't expel them under Title 42. And I don't know if you guys are aware of that, the Title 42 expulsions.
Yeah, Title 42 is the part of the U.S. code that allows us to close our border. This is where I get to have my nerd come out. It's part of that we're allowed to close the border in the name of the virus, right? The contagion, COVID-19. Isn't that what Trump implemented, saying that basically COVID-19 is too dangerous, we have to shut the border?
Yeah. So, public health. Title 42 covers public health. Yeah. Title 8 is immigration. Title 19 is customs. So we, for the first time in my, you know, 20-plus year history with the agency, got to use this Title 42. And it's kind of like the old days when we would just, you know, hand them back into the,
the
place
face
where they just left. So basically we just send them right back, you know, within hours. And we were doing this without bringing them into any of the Border Patrol or CBP facilities, and just returning them right back to Mexico without any processing, really. Just we'd identify them in the field with biometric capabilities, remote biometric capabilities, and just send them right back. And it was quite a deterrent, actually. And that, along with the migrant protection protocols, a huge deterrent. As soon as that stuff got lifted, the Remain in Mexico and Title 42 has been not stopped entirely, but it's just been
gutted,
abridged, I guess you would say. So we're only expelling under Title 42 the single adults, right? So we were
the idea that a family unit all being infected with COVID-19 is somehow safer than an individual adult. That it's obvious that they're not really interested in protecting public health at that point, right?
No. And to your point, so this is the 2 + 2 = 5, isn't it? So
100%.
Either the pandemic is going to kill us all, or it's totally okay to open our borders. So which one is it? Because you can't have both. So we shut down economies, we locked people up, we made everybody wear a mask, and now we're trying to scare the population into getting some, you know, gene therapy injection. But no, that's fine. Let's let everybody from Central America in, and we're just going to let them go.
So, couple quick questions. Couple quick questions. You're absolutely right. You can't have it both ways. Here in Texas, there was a report, we mentioned it in the first hour, that 6% of the illegal aliens tested at one border town bus station were COVID positive.
Yep.
Is that because of a lack of testing, or is that because of positives not coming up in the test results? Which of those do you think? Obviously, you don't know the specific cases, but is it an issue of migrants not being tested, or are they testing everyone and things are just slipping through?
So CBP is not testing anyone. We're not. No, if you're reading that, that's a lie. We're not testing anyone.
Okay. Well, whether it's you, whether it's ICE ultimately who does it, it seems like there's a breakdown.
So I can't speak for ICE. I know ICE, which actually has medical facilities, when we would transfer them to ICE, I know ICE would, that was part of their intake for most of the facilities. I don't know how many of them tested positive. I'm not going to try to account for their data or their stats. We take people to medical facilities routinely all the time for name it, any variety of things. Traumatic injuries, snake bites, dehydration, heat exhaustion, heat exposure, just general malaise. We'll transport anybody who needs medical attention, or actually anybody who just asks for it, we'll take them. If that facility tests that person and they come up positive, we memorialize that. I know how many that we've had. But as for those that say, you know, family units that come in and then we release them, we give them a notice to appear and we release them on recognizance, if we didn't test them, couldn't tell you, man. If Brownsville went and tested everybody at the bus station, that's what you get. If you know how to do statistics, you can kind of draw your graph on that and calculate how many thousands have we released. If it was 108 out of however, whatever that test pool was, that's how many positives are being released. And it's got to be staggering.
Do you have any information on what the notice to appears look like right now? What kind of dates are migrants being given? How far out are their court dates?
So I'll bet you that they're to be determined. So what happens is you set somebody up for, this part of our process has been gamed for years and years. I'll give you the example of, someone comes in, these people are surrendering at the border, really not chasing them down. That wreck in Holtville the other day with the cutting the fence, I'm wondering, didn't they get the memo that if they just surrender to us, they kind of get a free ride? But maybe they had criminal records, or they were
trafficking children.
All adult males, so they didn't want to.
Or they were trafficking children.
They kind of use the government for the other end of that. They drop them off, and then we take them wherever they say they're going. You know, whatever their destination is in the U.S.
Wow.
I know that most of the ones in the Holtville wreck were adults. I do believe there was one or two 16, 17-year-olds, so I'm thinking, you know, probably family or, you know, again, I'm not really sure why they didn't just surrender and let Uncle Sam do the rest of the job for them, but they did what they did.
One of our commenters is wondering how often you get tested. Obviously, you're coming into contact at the border with a lot of people who you say you're not testing them yourself. How often are you getting tested to make sure that you're not and your colleagues aren't contracting the virus?
Yeah,
I'm actually in more of a strategic environment now, but agents can get tested as however much they want. It's usually more dependent kind of on the local area, the facilities in the area, but. If they come in contact, you know, there's a whole quarantine protocol, and you know, the vaccine being available now is going to change a little of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But to your original question about the NTA, we'll apprehend them at the border, and they'll usually tell us if we're going to release them. you know, where are you going? They say, you know, Brooklyn or Boston or wherever, and we'll just have to put, you know, to be determined, and you know, hand them what we have on them right now. But it's up to them to notify the Executive Office of Immigration Review of their
Eagerness so to come before a judge.
Right. So, case in point, for a couple of years ago, it was like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we had a whole bunch that were saying, I think it was like Brooklyn or the Bronx or something like that, and the court dates they were getting were like 6-7 years out.
Whoa. You've got to be kidding me.
No.
I've heard the same. I've heard it like half a decade plus. It's
unbelievable. Yeah, it is unbelievable.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and jam up the system even more. And I mean, this is all just imaginary. It's all just make believe.
So how do you feel about it? How do you and your colleagues feel about what's going on? I mean, how do you feel about the nonsense at the border and what you're experiencing right now?
My assignment right now, no kidding, in December, because everybody tries to, you know, do their retirements in December, right? Because it's just more advantageous, because you get the whole year of annual leave if you don't use any, and then you get a big fat check for, you know, cashing in your annual leave, because we don't get terminal leave like the military. In this last December, and they're in but maybe 100 and some change at this place, I counted 7 who retired in December.
Whoa. Wow. So people are tired of it. They're just tired of it.
We're done. Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of us, we went through the Obama time, and here we go again. No, if I don't have to, I'm not gonna. So
yeah,
this is a losing fight. And then on top of it, if you just saw House Resolution 1280, the Justice and Police Reform Act, just passed the House today, and that does some things that should horrify everybody in the United States, because it codifies throughout all 50 states, from every jurisdiction, from the federal down to you know, Andy and Barney at Mayberry, the Police Reform Act. So it's going to change the shape of policing irrevocably. The most problematic that I see, just for having been on the job, is it eviscerates qualified immunity, which means that if an officer, agent, deputy, whomever, has an encounter on the job, and he's sued, he must present himself in his own stead, out of his own pocket, for his defense, regardless what this lawsuit is. So why would you ever respond to a call?
Yeah, no. Why would you ever respond to a call? We've talked about this on the show before. If you want to have a diverse police force, you're not going to have people, lower class, middle class, wanting to be police officers if they know that the first time they arrest someone, they're going to get sued personally. Right. So you only really have very wealthy police officers who'd be willing to take that risk. Qualified immunity is crazy. I like the idea of reforming what it means to be doing it in good faith, because that's how it usually is written, that you have qualified immunity as long as you're acting in good faith in your official capacity. Obviously, you can't put on a badge and kidnap someone, right? It doesn't protect you then. I think that there are probably some cases where people deserve to be sued personally and are hiding behind the badge. Sure. Just getting rid of it completely is insane.
It's usually the standard is reasonableness. What would a reasonable officer, you know, and this is the same with most self-defense cases in, you know, citizen, not non-police people, is what would a reasonable person have perceived? It's the standard of reasonableness. What would another police officer who was similarly trained, similarly equipped, how would he or she have perceived what would would they have made the right, you know, was running the person over with your squad car for jaywalking, was that reasonable? You know, probably not.
Yeah.
So that's usually how that there are always things that fall through the cracks. There are always going to be jurisdictions that are, you know, don't have the community's best interest at heart, and they're going to protect even the the cops that went too far, who shouldn't have been protected. But what this does is it makes everybody absolutely vulnerable. And why would you not sue the police department?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why wouldn't
I completely agree.
What do you got to lose?
Yeah.
I mean, they just settled with you.
I know, Joe, you have to get to a meeting.
I do.
So do you have any final questions? Dave, I'd love to have you on the show again to talk about your immigration stuff. Joe, do you have any final questions before you have to jump off?
No. Hey, Dave, thanks for it, man. Thanks for the listeners are all thanking you. They're saying thank you for giving them more information. Gives them a pretty educated perspective on what you're really dealing with. And, hey, God bless you out there and stay protected.
Hey, likewise.
Right? All right. No, I think that I just want to remind people that these are real people that are in the Border Patrol, and they're trying to do things to balance how they take care of people. They're very caring. I mean, if you ever met Dave, I know Dave. He is a very caring individual. He truly wants to protect the people in the United States, but he also wants to make sure he balances that against just caring for humans, the human beings that come across the border. Now, he thinks that there should be accountability and we should send them back. But at the same time, his hands get tied. So he just said that, hey, what was really working in our country, we just took it away and tied their hands. And now we get to let people walk in. And you're hearing from his perspective how these policies are hurting people in the United States. So I think that's the problem with these congressmen and these elected leaders and these bureaucrats, is that they don't care about the American people. And once we start talking the truth, when we start saying, hey, they're liars, this is what they are, we know what they are, then we can start standing up and rattling these buildings. People are like, oh, that'll be insurrection. Maybe they, at that point, they'll be able to call it that when you see children get killed. When we can actually put up actual events and say, hey, the news aren't going to cover it. Let's tell everyone what happened in this city. And then people in that city going crazy on the elected officials, going crazy on them, saying you allowed their daughter to get raped. You allowed their son to get murdered. You allowed that DUI person that came in illegally from another country to kill that entire family. You allowed it to happen. That is when we start holding them accountable. They want to hold police and Border Patrol and have qualified immunity. When they want to get rid of that and say, hey, police officers are 100% responsible, why don't we make our politicians responsible? Why don't we hold them responsible for the people that die and are maimed and killed and raped and assaulted in our country because they decide that those people are more important than Americans? At that point, when you get to make a decision as an American that you can go rattle that building, tip over their car, figuratively, then when you can do that, and say, you're responsible. You're responsible for the crime that happens in our country. You individually are responsible for it. At that point, I think that, you know, we will start seeing fear in them. They should be fearful of us. They should be fearful. They take our money. They give it away to everyone else. They allow illegals to come in and hurt our citizens, people that belong here, that they have a right to be here. They don't have a right to be here. So that's all I have. I'm going to tell you right now that I do believe God's at the wheel, but action is required. Obviously, I told you before that Max will talk to you about Conservative Daily. We're going to start sending out some of the texts and things to both the people at Conservative Daily and as well the 95 or 96,000 people we have that are part of FEC United. So if you also want to sign up there, FECUnited.com, we are starting different chapters all over the country and charters all over the country, and it's really going to be something very special to help us with accountability. So, Max, until then, have fun. Guys, okay. God bless you guys.
So, Joe's off to a meeting. We're going to keep talking about this. 888-441-1121. You want to call in about immigration. Call in about Texas opening up. In case you missed it, Texas is reopened starting the 10th. And we have a clip, Mr. Beers. So let's play that Greg Abbott clip. It's the second one I sent you. Let's play that right now, that Twitter clip.
So today, I'm issuing a new executive order that rescinds most of the earlier executive orders. Effective next Wednesday, all businesses of any type are allowed to open 100%. Woo! that includes any type of entity in Texas. Also, I am ending the statewide mask mandate.
So, no more mask mandate starting the 10th. No more artificial limitations on how many people can go into a restaurant, meaning if your restaurant is rated for 100 people inside, you're no longer artificially capped at 50 or 25%. And this is going to be a lifesaver for small business owners. The idea that Walmart can put a couple hundred or even 1,000 people inside, but if you're the small business owner, you can only have 5 inside or 10 inside at a time. The rules were always set to benefit the big business and hurt small business. At least now in Texas, we're going to be looking out for the little guy. Interestingly enough, Alamo Drafthouse, anyone who's ever heard of it, Alamo Drafthouse, they have, they put out a statement. It's a movie theater where you also go to eat. Ms. Brewster put up image number 2. Alamo Drafthouse said, Alamo Drafthouse mandatory mask policy remains in place, as well as our 6 feet social distancing protocols and all of the other safety measures we've had in place across the country since last year. We are only following the guidance of CDC and medical experts, not politicians. Right now, at what we hope is the beginning of the end of COVID, the health of our teams and our guests remains this company's top priority. Interesting, because this is what Alamo Drafthouse released immediately afterwards. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. They filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So right after, I mean, obviously unconnected, right? But this is one of those moments that's so funny because they're virtue signaling, right? They put out a statement saying, we will not listen to the politicians. And the same day that they released that statement, they announced that they're going bankrupt. And yeah, sure, it's a restructuring kind of bankruptcy, but they are going to be closing a couple of their locations. People will lose their jobs. It just seems like when you're going and you know you're entering bankruptcy, maybe you shouldn't be picking political fights. Like, they could say we're going to keep the mask mandate without saying we're not going to listen to stupid politicians. I mean, it's just so tone deaf. I've never been to an Alamo Drafthouse. I don't think I ever will. But yeah, Lady 5G on DLive says poetic justice. Absolutely. So... lots of people have been saying in the comment section, referring to Neanderthals. In case people don't know, Joe Biden called all of us Neanderthals if we believe that the mask mandate should be lifted and that the occupancy caps should be lifted as well. Here's the clip of that. And remember when Donald Trump called MS-13 gang members monsters, right? Remember, MS-13 is the gang that literally beheads people and leaves the heads at children's playgrounds just to send a message. Nancy Pelosi said that was dehumanizing talk and all humans are made in the image of God, right? Remember that? Well, Joe Biden just called all of us Neanderthals. That's Neanderthal thinking, literally dehumanizing because Neanderthals are subhuman. Here's that clip. Let's play cut 4.
Masks make a difference. We are on the cusp of being able to fundamentally change the nature of this disease because of the way in which we're able to get vaccines in people's arms. We've been able to move that all the way up to the end of May to have enough for every American, to get every adult American to get a shot. And the last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine, take off your mask, forget it. It still matters. I carry a card with me. I don't have it. I put it on my desk.
Oh, the card. Here comes the card.
As of yesterday, we had lost 511,874 Americans. We're going to lose thousands more. This will not occur. We'll not have everybody vaccinated until sometime in the summer. We have the vaccine to do it. Getting a shot in someone's arm and getting a second shot, you're going to take time. And it's critical.
All right, cut it. I'm not giving the potatoes any extra time. So I want to explain why Texas did what they did. So right now, as of right before this order was given, 7% of Texans had been vaccinated. 9% of Texans had tested positive for the virus. So right there, you have 16% of Texans. Now, there is some overlap, right? There's some people who tested positive who also got the vaccine. But 16%. There's also some experts who say that when you look at asymptomatic cases, that they make up 80% of all total cases. So if you have 2.6 million like diagnosed cases, you would have 10 million undiagnosed asymptomatic carriers. That's one number, right? That's a worst case, best case scenario, right? But I want to talk about the extremes. So when you add all those numbers up together, you get to 52% of Texas's population. 52%. Again, there's overlap. It probably isn't that high, but at the most, 52% of Texas's population has the antibodies from either getting the virus or getting the vaccine. More than half. So where does Texas derive the authority to mandate masks? The government has the power to enforce a quarantine, but only against sick people, right? If you are healthy, the government can't lock you up and say, for the good of the nation, we're going to lock you up. For the last year, that power has kind of been expanded because of asymptomatic carriers. That's the argument the government's made, that because we don't know exactly who is sick, we don't have enough tests to ensure that everyone's safe or not, everyone should wear a mask because we don't want asymptomatic carriers. That's asymptomatic carriers. I'm not going to get into the science behind whether or not asymptomatic carriers exist, but you should look it up. It is definitely a disputed concept. But that was the power. The power was derived from the government's ability to quarantine you if you're sick to prevent you from spreading an illness. They couldn't tell whether you were sick or not, so erring on the side of caution, they said you have to wear a mask just in case. Well, now in Texas, as I said, best case scenario, 52% of the state has the antibodies, either through vaccine or through having the virus already. At most, 52%. You cannot say that the government has the authority to force everyone to wear a mask when right off the bat, right there, one in every two cannot possibly get or spread the virus. Right? You lose that authority. You lose the logical basis for that emergency authority. And what we're going to see in the coming days, as more vaccines are administered, you're going to see that number tick higher, 55%, 60%. Then you start getting into Anthony Fauci territory, right? Remember, Anthony Fauci originally was like, well, 60% is the magic number. 60% is the magic number for herd immunity. And then he said, oh, well, actually, I think it might be 70. And he keeps raising it. You ever notice the closer we get to herd immunity, the higher Anthony Fauci raises the bar? And funny, when we were talking about herd immunity at the start, this, oh no, herd immunity, that's a dangerous concept. Because we were talking about the aspect of herd immunity they still don't want to talk about, the people who got the virus and had the antibodies naturally. They still don't want to talk about that. Herd immunity will get people killed. Well, we're approaching herd immunity, not because of the vaccine. The vaccine will get us there. But the bulk of the heavy lifting, at least in Texas, is going to be done through people contracting the virus. Right? Because herd immunity is not just people who are vaccinated. It's also people who've naturally developed antibodies, both through symptomatic cases and asymptomatic cases. People who had the virus had no idea, went about their life, no big deal. So we're getting up there, right? Texas is going to get to 55, going to get to 60, going to get to 65, 70. It's going to keep going up. They're losing the ability to say that universal mask mandates make sense. You can't say everyone hide in your homes when one in every two people, at best, one in every two people cannot get the virus and cannot spread the virus. Now, disclaimer before we get canceled, a fact check, there is still outstanding medical research as to whether someone who has the antibodies could potentially spread the virus still without becoming sick themselves. Disclaimer there, make sure you consult with your CDC and your WHO health professionals. Had to say that so I don't get banned. People asking, where's the Don't Ban Me Bro t-shirts? I'm going to build one today. Don't ban me, bro. It's going to be on sale starting today. Make sure you check that out. I'm going to do that right after this. Or after this, I'm going to get the fax blast out. Then I'm going to do that. So make sure you look at that. But yeah, we're approaching herd immunity. So when you hear Joe Biden say, well, we won't be safe until summertime. Well, I mean, there are people who claim we're already there. Now, sure, this is a decision that has real world consequences. Like I wouldn't want to go maskless into a nursing home. Right? There's different levels to it, right? As I've said on the show for over a year, the concept of a mask is not foreign. It's basic science that we've known as humans from before we even called it science, right? From before science was even a thing, we knew that if you cough, cover it up. Cough into your arm, cough into your elbow, use a handkerchief, right? These things that humans have been doing for generations, for centuries, for millennia. The idea of if you're sick, cover your cough, cover your sneeze, is well-founded. The science behind forcing healthy people to cover their mouths, Not so much. Only way they were able to get around that was presuming that everyone had the virus since there were so many asymptomatic cases. You lose that justification as we approach herd immunity, which is going to be a terrifying moment for these big government liberals. How does Gavin Newsom, what's Gavin Newsom going to do when the courts overrule him and say, no, you've reached herd immunity, right? What's going to happen when Andrew Cuomo, if he's still there, because they're ready to ride him out of town on a rail, right? Not because he killed everyone's grandma, no, because he touched some women inappropriately and he's a creep. Right, that's the big no-no. Killing the grandmas, okay, according to the left. Being a creep, no. Well, ends justify the means. Let's ride them out of town on a rail. It's fine. what are they going to do when the power structures they've built up, right, giving themselves their emergency powers, what are they going to do when that comes crashing down? They're not going to go quietly, right? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Gavin Newsom is corrupted by this power. You know that because he dined in a restaurant, not even a single care in the world, right? Didn't even hide it. Windows, no, didn't pull the blinds, open the doors. People could photograph him, right? Didn't even care. That's how corrupted he has become. He understands he can get away with anything, and he'll do it. So what's going to happen to these people when they realize that they can't just continue this way? It's going to be a tough time. It really is. So I'm excited to see it, but I'm not, because it's going to be, listen, if you think Gavin Newsom is bad, imagine how bad it's going to be trying to rip that power from his hands. But that's where we're getting, right? We've seen Florida is opening up, Alabama, Mississippi is opening up, South Dakota is opening up, Texas is opening up. More and more states are determined to make sure that the cure is not worse than the disease itself. We understand the virus. It's not a novel coronavirus anymore, right? You can't call it that. We understand it. We understand it. It doesn't just linger in the air for hours at a time. It doesn't just survive on surfaces for days on end like they thought before. It does die in heat and humidity. We know a lot more about it. So you can't just support all of these early 2020 health mandates based on the information we have now. So I am really interested to see how this goes down. Obviously, open everything up. Open Michigan up. Open New Jersey up. Open New York up. Open Pennsylvania up. Open them all up. And if you don't, I really want to see lawsuits being filed, because if it hasn't already hit that point, it will shortly. Herd immunity, depriving the government of the authority to implement these emergency measures. Crazy, crazy stuff. Well, we talked about this in the first part, but I want to play that second video I sent you, Mr. Producer. This is a Texas official talking about how the Biden administration is actually sending COVID-positive illegal aliens into the state. Let's go ahead and play that first clip I sent you on Twitter, Mr. Producer.
The Biden administration was releasing illegal immigrants into our communities who had COVID. The Biden administration was spreading COVID in South Texas yesterday because of their lack of constraint of testing and quarantining people who'd come across the border illegally. The Biden administration was exposing Texans to COVID. That is Neanderthal type approach to dealing with the COVID situation. But more importantly, Brian, the Biden administration.
So yeah, it's absolutely true. You can't say that Texans are Neanderthals for wanting to take the masks off when he's shipping COVID positive illegal aliens into the interior. You cannot square that circle. And as Dave, the Border Patrol agent, said, right, you cannot say that it's a pandemic, but also say we're not going to enforce Title 42, which was the Trump order closing the border for health reasons. Right? You can't say that we're in the midst of a pandemic and just welcome illegal aliens in. There was someone, I was getting in arguments with someone yesterday on Reddit over Texas, and they used the most apples and oranges comparison I've ever heard in my life. They compared Texas to Hawaii. Now, anyone who missed their geography lesson in middle school, Hawaii is an island in the Pacific. Hawaii has complete control over who comes and goes. You cannot go to Hawaii unless you test negative and produce that negative test before you get on the airplane. Yeah. If you arrive and you don't have that previous negative test, you quarantine for 10 days on the island, vacation ruined. So Hawaii has complete and total control over who comes in and out. They can control any respiratory virus they want. Texas has a land border with 4 states. It also has a border with Mexico, the largest percentage of the United States border with Mexico, the largest land border in the world, separating a first and a third world country. Right? So comparing Texas to Hawaii or Vermont or any of these other states that the liberals are loving to do right now, you can't do it. It's an apples and oranges comparison. And even when you do, Texas comes out looking pretty good. Even by the numbers, Texas is middle of the pack. Much better than New York, much better than Pennsylvania, much better than New Jersey. Right? So this whole thing that the sky is falling because of Texas, it just isn't true. And we can end it with this, Mr. Producer. Put up my screen. This is from the Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee, headline, estimated 9 billion already dead from Texas mask mandate reversal. That's the article from the Babylon Bee. Absolutely hitting the nail on the head. They are acting like the sky is falling. Because in a week, Texas will no longer require people to wear a mask. It'll be up to the business owners, and it will be up to the people themselves. Individual responsibility, wear a mask or don't. It will not be the Texas government forcing you to do it. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. If you like the podcast, make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. Subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube, and also follow us on DLive. I'll give a little bit more lemons out on DLive. Everyone stuck around to the end of the show. 5 more lemons coming at you in 30 seconds. Also very important to subscribe to the audio version of the show. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. Very important you do that. Leave us a good review, a 5-star review if you can. You can also find us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Podbean. We are on Gab TV. We are on Rumble, all different places. Check out all the links in the description and make sure you follow us all those different places because we could be banned at any time talking about anything. So it's really important that you check out all those different places, subscribe to all of them so you know where to find us if that does happen. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Joe had to bounce early. Remember, everyone, that the fight to take back our country isn't over yet, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.